Now let's continue in the book of John. Let's come to chapter 8. At several times, Jesus says that he is the light of the world. So think about this for just a little bit. Those who reject Jesus Christ are what? In darkness. And if they are in darkness, how great is that darkness? Now here in John 8 and verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me, and we have another place which says, we are to walk in his steps, we'll see that in a little bit, shall never walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Well, that didn't go too well with the scribes and Pharisees. All right. Then over here in chapter 9. Here's the account of the man born blind for this specific purpose, for the glory of God, that the miracle would take place. Okay. So he says here in verse 5. No, let's begin right here in verse 1. Now, Jesus was passing by. He saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, the man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, question, how can a child in the womb sin? Of course it can. So, kind of a nonsensical question by the disciples. Jesus answered, neither did this man nor his parents sin. Rather, this blindness came so that the work of God might be manifested in him. The very purpose. Now notice what he says here, verse 4. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is still day. Because when he was arrested, he said, this is your time, the power of darkness. And who instigated that? Satan, the devil. When the night comes, no one will be able to work. And that has come periodically at different times in the history of the world. Come here to chapter 12. Chapter 12 is quite a very interesting chapter and reveals an awful lot. Reveals an awful lot about how Christ thought, what he did, what he spoke, and again, showing that he's the light of the world. Now let's pick it up in verse 35. John 12 and verse 35. Then Jesus said to them, yet a little while the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness does not overtake you. For the one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. Isn't that true? People don't know why they're here, where they're going, what they're doing. While you have the light, believe in the light, and that's Christ, so that you may become the children of light. Now we'll see about the children of light. That's those who have been called, have the Holy Spirit, those who are the saints of God. Jesus spoke these things and then departed from them and was in hiding. Okay? Because they were ready to get him. Now let's continue on, because this tells us an awful lot about people and also an awful lot about what Christ is doing and how he does it and why we're called. Verse 37. Although he had done many miracles in their presence, yet they did not believe in him. So what does it take? See, miracles do not produce conversion. And remember this, only Christ is the true light. So that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, Lord, who has believed our report, and whom to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this very reason, they could not believe, because, again, Isaiah said, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. Why? Because they wouldn't obey. That's why. So that they would not see with their eyes and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I would heal them. So that's why there is the second resurrection. And that's quite a thing. That's a major doctrine in the Bible, which is only spoken of in two places, Ezekiel 37 and in Revelation 20. Amazing, isn't it? Yet, that covers the most of mankind, doesn't it? Yes, indeed. Now, notice this. Verse 42. Politics are the worst things that can happen in a church. And that happened with the Jews, didn't it? They were all political. They belonged to the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the Essenes or whatever. Okay. But notice what this causes. But even so, many among the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, so that they would not be put out of the synagogues. Really? Isn't that something? For they loved the glory of men more than the glory of God. Now think about that. You love what people say to you. You like to be uplifted. You like to be told how good you are. And that is the happiness in your life. No, that's not true. The happiness in your life comes from the light of God, the truth of God, being converted, growing and overcoming, and that you will be as Christ is in the full glory of spirit being and light and glory and salvation. Then Jesus called out and said, "The one who believes in me," again, the one who is believing, "does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. And the one who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness." You have the darkness lifted from you. Now, have you ever done this in studying the Bible? You go along and all of a sudden you begin to understand something. It's like a light is turned on. That's true, because the Word of God is a light. Okay? But notice, on the other hand, "The one who rejects me and does not receive my words." Now that's interesting, isn't it? All the words of Christ we are to accept, we are to receive, we are to believe, we are to live by, "has one who judges him. The word which I have spoken, that shall judge him in the last day." Now, let's look at one here in Matthew 7. We've covered this perhaps many times, but let's go see it again. Matthew 7. Here we go, and let's see what it says. Okay? Because there are a lot of people out there who think they are good Christians, who think they believe in God, who think they believe in Christ. Okay? But they are not, because they're not entering in to the narrow gate, but the broad way. Let's come down here. Verse 21. "Everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,'" correction, "not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who is doing the will of my Father who is in heaven." What is the will of the Father? All the words of Christ are the will of the Father. That's what Jesus said. And all of the words in the Old Testament are also the things of the Most High, spoken by the Lord God. So it works both ways. Okay. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy through your name? Did we not cast out demons through your name? Did we not perform many works of power in your name? Great things that we did.'" Well, what's Jesus going to say? Well, that's nice. You really did it. Well, why were you keeping Sunday? Well, Lord, we thought that was better than the Sabbath. Really? The very commandment that I said, remember, you rejected and forgot. All right. So he says, verse 23, and then I will confess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. Okay? So that's quite a thing. That's what he said back here in John the 12th chapter. The one who doesn't receive my words but rejects them, the words that Jesus has spoken will judge him. Here's why. For I have not spoken from myself, but the Father who sent me gave me commandment himself what I should say and what I should speak. Now that's quite profound when you really grasp all of that. Back there in John 5 and verse 19 and verse 30, he says, I do nothing of myself, but what the Father commanded me, that I do. What I see the Father do, that I do. What I hear the Father tell me to do, that I do. This is all verified right here, isn't it? And he says, and I know his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, whatever I speak exactly as the Father has told me. Quite a profound part of the Gospel of John, isn't it? Now let's come to 1 Peter, the first chapter, and let's see something very interesting, because the apostles wrote the same thing. They taught the same thing. There is nowhere in the Bible where it commands Sunday keeping. There is nowhere in the Bible where it commands the holidays of this world. In fact, it denounces them. Okay? Okay, let's pick it up here in First Peter, the first chapter. Okay? Okay, let's pick it up. Let's pick it up in chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 9. Okay. Let's pick it up here. Go back to verse 6. For this very reason, in the Scripture, it says, behold, I place in Zion a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and the one who believes in him shall never be put to shame. The preciousness is to you, therefore, who believe, because those who disobey, the stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, especially to those who stumble at the word, being disobedient, unto which unbelief they were also appointed. But you are a chosen stock, a royal priesthood, which we will be at the resurrection, a holy nation. Think of that. Part of the holy nation of God, spirit being. A people for a possession of God, that you might proclaim his excellent virtues, who called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. That's quite a thing, isn't it? The light of God through his word, through his spirit, through his truth. Now notice verse 10. Who once were not a people, but now are the people of God. Who had not received mercy, but now have received mercy. Quite a thing, isn't it? Well, let's come here to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1. There it is in verse 9 that I wanted. Okay. Now, this is what the knowledge of the light of God does for us. And it's all because of answering the call of God. God is the one who calls, and we must answer. All right, first chapter of 2 Peter. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have attained the same precious faith as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Multiplied. Now, this is an age where we can have all this knowledge multiplied to us over and over and over again. Okay? Now, verse 3 and 4 are fantastic. According as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life, that's eternal life, and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called you to his own glory and virtue. That's what the light does, to bring us to God completely, through which he has given to us the greatest and most precious promises, which the world does not understand, that through these you might become partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So then we need to really respond to God and do the things that we need to. Now, we're here at 1 John. Let's see how great that this is and how wonderful that these things are for us. Okay? 1 John. Let's pick it up here beginning in verse 3. This 1 John is really one of the most deeply spiritual and inspiring epistles in the New Testament. He writes, "That which we have seen and heard and we're reporting to you in order that you may have fellowship with us for the fellowship." Now think of this. This is part of grace upon grace. The fellowship, our fellowship, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now that's quite a thing for us to understand. Okay. "And these things we are writing to you so that your joy may be completely full. And this is the message that we heard from him and are declaring to you, that God is light and there is no darkness at all in him." Now that's quite a thing. You think about your relationship with God. You're praying to God, you're studying his word, you're living by it, you're coming to services, you're having services at home, whatever it may be. God is there with you, and remember the promise of Jesus, that wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And God is. Okay. Notice what he says. No darkness. Now notice this, because there were a lot of false prophets coming around at that time as well. "If we proclaim that we have fellowship with him, but are walking in darkness," that is, breaking the commandments of God, living without the Spirit of God, walking in darkness, world, utter darkness covering this world, walking in it, living in it, okay? "But are walking in darkness, we are lying to ourselves." Now, that's what makes so many of these professing Christians believe that they are right, because they are lying to themselves. And if you believe the lie that you tell yourself, that's the worst kind of lie. Okay? A lie that you tell someone else, you know it's a lie. But if you lie to yourself and you believe that lie, that is truly deception. Satan doesn't have to do anything. You do it to yourself. Okay? And notice what it causes, and we are not practicing the truth if we lie to ourselves. Quite an amazing thing. "However, if we walk in the light of the Word of God, the light of the Gospel, and so forth, okay? As he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his own Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, let's come back to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Let's see how we are to be walking, Ephesians, the fifth chapter, how we are to be walking as God wants us to walk. Okay? Ephesians 5, and this tells us how we are to walk. Okay? How we are to follow God. Now, notice how what he writes here, because we'll come back to 1 John in just a little bit. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Therefore, be imitators of God. Now, how can you be an imitator of God in his way if you're living in sin, which is Satan and his way? The one is light, the one is darkness. And walk in love, and even as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us as an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, do not permit it even to be named among you as it is fitting for saints, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not becoming, but instead giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous person who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Do not let anyone deceive you with vain words. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be joint partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now that's how we are to live. That's how it is to be. Okay? Now let's see how we walk as children of light. Come back here to 1 John, the first chapter again. And we see the same thing here. Okay? Verse 7. However, if we walk in the light, we just read that. Paul wrote that. As he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his own Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we do not have sin, oh, we're good people, we don't have any sin, look at how good we are. We are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So here's what we are to do. And remember the model for the daily prayer. We are to repent every day. Think on that. Not just to what you do, because the conversion, as we covered through Unleavened Bread, is in the mind. What you think, what is there, that also what you have to repent of. If we confess our sins, now notice, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness or darkness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. That's quite a statement in itself, isn't it? Now notice what he says here, and what follows is very profound and all a part of this, of walking in the light and being children of the light and understanding the truth of the light. So he says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And yet, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Notice what it says up here. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. Advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, the continual atoning of our sins, continually, for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world, lest we get lifted up and think, oh, well, you know, we're so good, this and that and the other. By this standard, we know that we know him. And if you're in the light, you know him. If you're in the darkness, you don't know him. If you're walking in the truth, you're walking in the light. Okay, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So therefore, he's in darkness. And remember, Satan comes and transforms himself into an angel of light. And that light that he has is darkness. On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, truly in this one, the love of God is being perfected. By this means, we know that we are in him. Anyone who claims to dwell in him is obligating himself also to walk, even as he himself walked. And so, that is the light that we have. Now let's see what Paul wrote to the Colossians and how it refers again to the light. Always, the Word of God is the light, Christ is the light, he is the truth, and all of that is how we are to live. So verse 9, Colossians the first chapter and verse 9. For this cause we also, from the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now look, this comes from walking in the light, see? That you may walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, unto all endurance and long-suffering. Now notice what this is to lead to. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father, who has made us qualified for a share of the inheritance of the saints in the light. That's quite a wonderful thing, isn't it? Now, we find this. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, just across the page, here's the inheritance right here, spoken of in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. But for us, the commonwealth of God exists in heaven, from where also we are waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our vile bodies that they may be conformed to his glorious body according to the inner workings of his own power, whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. Now think about that. What is it going to be like to have a spirit body like Christ has? Now we know that in Isaiah 57 it says that God inhabits eternity. So we're going to be transformed from flesh to spirit. We're going to be removed from just a realm of daily physical living into being spirit beings, the very sons and daughters of God. Now let's come to Revelation, the first chapter, and let's see how John saw Jesus in his glory. Now remember, John also was one of the three that went with Jesus to the Mount of Transfiguration. And there in vision, they saw Jesus and Moses and Elijah. And he took those three there because they were the leaders of the 12 and would be the leaders of the church as it developed. And with that experience, that was so profound on the minds of all three, and we don't know the writings of the Apostle James because he was martyred in 42 AD. But Peter and John always refer to this very thing of seeing Christ. Okay? Now, let's come here to Revelation, the first chapter, and John, let's pick it up in verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the day of the Lord, that prophetically, visually seeing, and heard a loud voice, like a trumpet behind me, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book. See, God always wants his word written down so we know what it is. No question about it. No adding to or taking away. And sent it to the churches in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, the Son of Man. Now, this has to be that they were formed in a circle, and he was in the middle of it. He is the head of the church. This has nothing to do with the candelabra from the temple. One like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment reaching down to the feet, and a girded about the chest with a golden breastplate, and his head and his hair were like white wool, white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. Don't know what that's going to be like, huh? His feet were like fine brass, as if they glowed in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And in his right hand he had seven stars, and a sharp two-edged sword went out of his mouth, which then is the word of God. And his countenance was as the sun shining in full strength. And what did Jesus say? That the children, when they are in the kingdom, will shine like the stars. Like the sun. Daniel said stars. Jesus said sun. That's the kind of existence. That's the kind of light. That's the kind of inheritance that God has for us. That's why we are to walk in the light, live in the light, and have no darkness at all. So this is what it means to be children of the light.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.